Chapter 6. The rain came suddenly, bursting from the clouds in a torrential downpour that lashed angrily at the sides of the gorge. Thunder boomed, rolling along the tops of the mountains and reverberating along Shaniel's bones. But it was not the sudden onslaught of the storm that roused the Pathfinder from her meditations. A deeper, more distant sound was buried within the hissing of rain on stone and the knife-sharp whistling of the wind. Her other rangers heard it, too, many of them rising from their meditative positions and moving close to the mouth of the cave to listen. Shaniel was already sitting close to the cave entrance, positioned so her slender back was to the rock wall, and turned so that she could observe both the entrance and the interior of the cave itself. She cocked her head slightly to the side, concentrating on the sounds rising from the gorge. Her eyes narrowed in recognition. The Pathfinder rose smoothly to her feet. With a few softly spoken commands, her companions began checking their weapons and adjusting the settings on their camellia-lined cloaks. Shaniel checked each squad in turn as she worked her way to the rear of the cave. Cold blue light shone around a sharp turn in the rock, creating an alcove of sorts where the Farseer and the squad of warped spiders waited. Sethir Tuanen knelt upon a small carpet woven of rich silks and inlaid with patterns of fine glassy threads extruded from warp-reactive crystal. A small lamp rested on a delicate metal tripod nearby, bathing the alcove in its soft glow. At the very back of the alcove, half hidden in shadow, the five warp spiders sat facing one another in a meditative circle. The eerie song of their jump generators echoed faintly off the rough stone walls. Shaniel knelt beside the Farseer, her long rifle resting across her bent knee.
"The battle has begun," she said quietly.
Sethir nodded, her expression hidden beneath her war mask.
"For some minutes now, yes," she agreed.
The Pathfinder frowned.
"And nothing has changed? We must still take no part?" "Not yet,"
the pale mask turned to regard her.
"Do you doubt me, Shaniel?"
"I do not," the Pathfinder paused, considering her words carefully.
"But I can hear the war cries of the greenskins. The gorge carries their bestial shouts for kilometers, even through the clamor of thunder and the hissing sheets of rain." "You have a flair for the poetic," Zethir observed, "but I fail to see how this is relevant."
Shaniel interrupted the Farseer with a brusque wave of her hand. Nuance and circumspection were well and good in the tea room or the garden, but not upon the eve of battle.
"Just how large is the greenskin force arrayed against us?"
Zethir straightened slightly, but conceded the Pathfinder's point with a curt nod.
"Pedro Cantor has been fighting the orcs here for many cycles," she explained. "He hunts them relentlessly, driven by guilt and the demands of honour, and he is rightly feared by his foes. Those he has not killed have fled before him, retreating through the mountains in hopes of escaping his reach. Here, they have found good terrain to fight in, and a leader who has united them against Cantor and his warriors," the Farseer said. "There are tunnels and deep caverns within the depths of this mountain, large enough to hide an army, and the orcs have made good use of them."
Shaniel let out a slow breath.
"And Cantor does not suspect?"
Zethir shook her head.
"His hunger for revenge made him incautious. He hastened into the gorge, believing he faced no more than 100 greenskins. The true number is closer to 1,000.
The Pathfinder felt a chill race along her spine. She leaned in close to Zethir.
"Cantor does not stand a chance," she hissed. "The fate of Aletok rests in his hands. Surely we must aid him."
The Farseer's gaze fell to the meditation carpet. She laid a palm atop its surface, causing the crystal threads to glimmer beneath her touch.
"He is not ready for our help just yet," she said softly. "Not until he stands upon the edge of the abyss. Only then will he listen. Only then will he believe."